Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Love.
another episode of Unmasked with authors Carrie E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. I first want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 40 countries around the world who tunes in. I so appreciate you. But before I bring on my guest, I want to say hello to my co-host who's here. Not feeling too well, but he's a trooper. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you? Happy Friday.
Same to you, darling. I know you're suffering from allergies and stuff right now. So if you hear a little sniffling and all that kind of stuff, he's not crying. He's just trying to make sure he don't be draining all over himself. With that being said, this is going to be a real treat tonight because we have Brandy Elliott. She is a realtor that, oh, my God, this lady will not leave a nickel on the table. She's going to get it all for you. And a lot of times people find themselves feeling like, you know, they cannot own property. And what they don't understand is that, you know, when you're a renter, you know, you're at the mercy of the landlord to keep increasing your rent every year until you find yourself stuck and nowhere to go, when the same money that you're putting into renting, you could be owning property and have equity and have something that you could use to get a loan. You know, you can, you know, have something to leave for your family. So my special guest, she wants to share some information that y'all need to take to heart. Y'all might need to want to write some of this stuff down because it's not as hard as you think. As long as you got a job or a source of income, I don't care whether you're crippled or crazy, she'll find a way to get you into that house. And without further ado, how you doing, Brandy?
Hi. That's right. Crippled or crazy, we got you.
That's right. You know, she going to make it do what it do. You know, I am so proud of you because even with working a job, you know, this young lady, she was working with someone, you know, and getting all the work and all the bringing people in. And she finally decided that she had enough of her own confidence in herself and the skill level that she opened up her own company. So I am so proud of her. And so, you know, don't be afraid to just hit the number one key if you got a question, and then I will unmute your mic. But if not, you can just listen because she's going to share some information with you as going to be a blessing to you. So, Brandy, how long have you been thinking and doing real estate?
Well, since I was, I think, 21, and I'm 43, and then, like you mentioned, the partnership that I had. Obvious, sometimes partners are made for dancing only. And, yeah, so, you know, I was at a fork, like a fork in the road, literally deciding if I wanted to start over from ground zero because 43 and this business, you're exhausted. But I did. Everything kind of fell in my lap by the grace of God. Because in Alabama, to be a broker owner, you have to have a brick and mortar and, you know, getting the location and doing all those things, everything just fell into place. And then I developed a model and I started out doing something similar to this and when I was 21 and just didn't understand the concept. But as I've worked over the years with investors and sellers, it made so much more sense because I was like, okay, why would a seller not want to use a real estate agent? And it always comes down to dollar bills, and they try to give it a go for themselves. But with my model, you know, it's, I do it just about cheaper than anybody. It's flat fee. Like I said, with $1 million, I've told you, but with $1 million property, all they're going to pay me is $4,500 and a co-op fee. And that is substantial savings when you're talking about $1 million property. So, and then that's how it goes. And like you were talking about ownership, a lot of people are intimidated about purchasing, about the whole process. But there are so many different products and out there. The government wants you to be a homeowner. That is one reason that they involve themselves. There's many products out there that's, well, with certain mortgage companies, first-time home buyer, which that has been a long done thing. I've only recently heard about a first-time home buyer because they're trying to be competitive in the interest rates because the interest rates are up. But if you're with a good real estate agent, they, you know, can present and get you with what's going to fit you and have you talk to different lenders, and you can even get in a house with no money down.
Okay.
Still, to this day.
Okay, well, that's a blessing.
Well,
let me ask you this question. You know, mm-hmm. you said you can get to a house now without no money down. Is that because you have to be in the military? Because I know they do that for military people. Or could any ordinary person get into a house without any money down?
Yes, there, and that is a VA loan. If you have a military status or, you know, I think next to kin and all of that, you can do no money down. But also in certain areas, you can do no money down, and with certain lenders, you can do 0% financing. So typically, you know, no money down means you got to make a deposit or it's a down payment, and there's different percentage levels. But they do still have those programs available. You just have to have someone that's connected and that can get you with the right lender and based on your credit, based on what you bring in a month. And it's just, it's a ratio, and they look at all of that, and they say, okay, this is where you best fit in. So, and then, you know, sometimes I've done it before, this market in different areas of the country, especially the market that I live in, it's very challenging. I never want to say it can't be done, but past years, yes, they had no money down, and then I got the seller to pay the closing cost as well. So, and there's a bunch of different ways you can do that, and the agent can just kind of cater, get you with the lender, and then strategize the plan of action when you do go to write an offer on a property. You know, that agent knows what they're dealing with, and they know how to work the deal.
Sounds good. Well, I have a lot of questions, but I'm going to let Chris ask his question first because I don't want to be asking a question that he might ask. So I'm going to let him ask his question first. So go ahead, Chris. Ask your question, darling.
Okay, Ms. Brandy, my first question to you is, what are five things that new homeowners should look at when buying a home?
Okay. Five things that a new homeowner should about? Hello?
Hello?
We're waiting on you. We're
okay.
Here.
Okay. Did you say five things a new homeowner should think about when buying?
Yeah, look for, like when they're looking for a house, what's something they should look for or look at or whatever?
First off, I'm going to say get yourself with a good real estate agent. That doesn't even have to count as the number five, you know, top five. But you definitely need someone that is going to bat for you. You definitely need someone that's going to hold your hand through the process and guide you and also get you in touch with the proper vendors and professionals throughout the process. Aside from that, I would say they need to look at their budget first and foremost. They need to know what they can afford comfortably. They don't want to be house poor, and they need to stick to that budget. And if that means going outside their desired area, their desired school district, but that, you know, sometimes that requires that. That requires you to make the commute and get you that first-time starter home. The beauty about a starter home is you need to look outside the norm. So some people, like in their 40s, don't want to go to a starter home, don't want to go to a starter neighborhood. But guess what? Those people that put their that say, okay, this is where we are, this is what our budget is, this is what we're doing. Five years from now, a lot of those have seen all of a sudden they're $100,000 up on their house, or 3 years, because they went with what, you know, that they went with their budget, and they did what was comfortable. So that is very important. Stay in your budget and look at several different locations. Number three, I would say, make sure you go for something manageable. Don't get in over your head. A lot of people want to come in, and it's their first time buying a house, and they always say, well, we just want a fixer-upper. I can tell you from experience, you need to look at your life. You need to look if you're going to have time for that, if you're going to have the money for that, if the house is going to have equity for that. Get a home inspection. But, of course, that falls back on having a real estate agent that's connected with the professionals. And make sure you have something manageable. So I would say budget, manageability, location, what else?
Well, I have a question. I don't know if this is included in the five things that he was looking at. My suggestion is when you're looking for a new home, not just focus on the inside. I would do a walk around and make sure there's no foundation issues like cracks in the wall or, you know, a line where there has been flooding on the outside. You know, I would be looking for, you know, inside water stains in the ceiling and stuff. There might have been pipe damage because, you know, I'm sure they're not going to always tell you what's going on in the house, but those would be some things I would look for. But my basic question I have for you, could you explain to me what is the difference between a short sale and foreclosure?
Okay, so I'm gonna answer what you just said also. The going back to looking, I've had first-time homebuyers be so afraid of popcorn ceilings. Well, guess what, baby? That's our budget. Because they said, what is this? I said, popcorn ceilings. I said, that is your budget, and there's nothing wrong with that. Good home inspector, investing in $200 to $350 good home inspector when you're making your $150,000, $250,000, $350,000 purchase is well worth the investment, because that person can hold your hand and say, hey, popcorn ceiling might take you a weekend. This foundation is going to take your budget, your time, your energy, you know? So again, that goes back to having a real estate agent that's going to get you in connection with those vendors at the proper time, so you don't have to over worry when you're looking through a house. Because I would say, you know, they've taken friends and family and they shoot it down, and really they really need that relationship with their agent, and then bring their family in to celebrate and encourage and support and uplift. Now,
exactly.
And keep them out of it, because, listen, I know people would argue with me, especially if they're not in the industry, but you need to see what satisfies your needs. Mama, daddy, aunt, uncle, friends are going to...
Hey, paying your bills.
They are not keeping the lights on, and they are... They want to be that professional that they are not. They need to be your support system, and they need to be able to encourage and celebrate you. And you, so that you've hired the professionals, and the professionals are going to guide you and protect you. So there's sometimes attorneys at the other end protecting you. There's all kind the lenders are in there. They have their red tape where they have, especially a veterans loan, a VA loan, they're always erring on the side of caution to protect the veteran. So rely and lean on those professionals, and then bring your family and friends in to celebrate what you've accomplished. That I've seen that far too many times. People miss out on good deals because their family and friends have shot it down. So going past that, foreclosure and a short sale. A short sale is basically, say you lost your job. You could reach out to the lender, the person that's invested in you, and that is a long, long, lengthy process. But they will come up with a number that will satisfy the debt, basically. And it goes on as a short sale. A lot of time, and foreclosure means you just said, hey, can't pay, ain't pay, not gonna. And sometimes lenders will, I know before the fallout, they wouldn't settle in for a short sale. They ended up shorting themselves because, you know, they ended up in foreclosure and they got less than what they would have settled for with a short sale. The lender lost and the homeowner.
Before you go further, so you're saying that a short sale is for the person who is living in the property, that they have an agreement with the lender that they're making like repayment plan, they're doing that. It's not a short sale where it means that those people decide they're leaving and you can get that house shortly because they won't be in it.
Well, if I understood your question correctly, the short sale from a homeowner standpoint is where you work out an arrangement where you have basically, you don't have any way to pay at all, and you've worked out an arrangement to basically, okay, I'm going to get out from under this, and this is what I'm going to put it on the market for, and hopefully somebody is going to accept that amount of money. And because this is what the bank has agreed upon.
And the extra money
foreclosure is where you just haven't been able to pay your bills, and you're not going to pay it. There's no way. And you just literally walk away from the responsibility of all of it.
Okay. I know Chris got a question. I'm going to ask this question real quick. Okay. A foreclosure, that's something that's owned by the bank. Is it reasonable to assume that if you find who the lender is, the bank on the different property, could you ask the bank to work a deal, you know, and bring it down more than what they would probably put it online for?
There is a process to it, and they are refining their processes more and more every day since the big fallout, you know, the recession and all of that. They do have a process. They are not stupid, but they are in some ways. But they have their bottom dollar because they know what they can fetch for it,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. They're going to get their – sometimes they assign their foreclosures out to a certain real estate agent or company. And then they've done their mm-hmm. homework, and sometimes they'll go in and clean up the house because, you know, usually it's indicative of the living situation, the depression, all of the things that come in when you run out of means to pay for your home. The house is in disrepair. So they come in, clean it up, some of them, and get it ready, and they're just a little bit under market value
because
they know what it's worth.
his question real quick because he's starting to drain a lot. I keep hearing him sniffling, and I know he's uncomfortable. So, Chris, go ahead and ask your question real quick.
Okay, yeah, my next question for you, Ms. Brandy, is overall, as a realtor, how is the housing market, and is it really what the media is telling us, or is there some hidden truth?
There's always a narrative with the media. And the narrative is usually doom and gloom. It's usually what they want you to believe and which way they want you to go. Our market is thriving in South Alabama, but it's also thriving all over the country. I'm on several different boards with real estate agents. And people will say, you know, something about the media blurb and how hard it is, you know. Like right now, I don't know because I don't subscribe to it. I don't pay attention to it. I look at what's in front of me. But what is the narrative you've heard, Chris?
Well, I just heard some days I'll hear it's up and some days I'll hear it's down. You know, that's just what I've heard.
Okay. It's going. In South Alabama, we're one of the fastest growing regions in the whole United States. But there are, on those message boards, there's also other places thriving. They have like 20 offers on one house. You know, they have more than that. They're digging through their offers. You know, you just have to look at the numbers and, again, ask your real estate agent to run the numbers and look at the turnover and look at how much it's up from last year and the inventory. Our inventory has been extremely low versus the number of buyers that are out there. And I think it was and this is off the cuff, so don't hold me to everything precisely, but I will give you an example, and then you can Google it, and you'll see where I'm off. But, like, around 1990, I think, was the baby boom, the biggest, or it could have been 89, 90. But it was the biggest influx of population since the last baby boom, whatever it was. And nothing has gone past it. That was the year. Okay, those people are now in apartments, and our inventory is extremely low. Those people are in apartments, getting married, having kids, ready to grow their nest, and the inventory is extremely low. So those people are going to be coming into the market. Inventory is extremely low. So what does that say about the real estate world, you know? Where there's a push.
Right. Well, Brandy,
it's growing,
it's
supply and demand. So if the supply is not there, the demand is, prices go up. So that's good for sellers.
Yeah. Well, Brandy, we have ran out of time. I want to thank you for being here, and I want people to tune in next week, because next week we're going to have this elder, her husband, who was a preacher of the church, impregnated different women in the congregation, gave her AIDS, gave them AIDS. So it's going to be one of those kind of interviews next week that you want to tune in for. And I thank you.
Wow.
Brandy, anytime you want to come back, you know, your family, you can come back on the show. And we so appreciate you. So with that being said, have a blessed weekend. We'll talk soon. And you take care of yourself. And I hope you have a lot of business coming your way so you get paid.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Night.